Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Prosper.com, America's marketplace for people-to-people loans. Prosper.com, where you can compete to bid on loans to fellow Americans.
You'll get this much oil and like it.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. The big oil-consuming countries wanted OPEC to increase production at today's meeting in Abu Dhabi. OPEC did not do that. The main reason is that oil prices have dropped on their own in recent days. They were close to $100 a barrel. This morning, they're at about $88. Plus, Tom Wallen at Energy Intelligence says a supply shortage wasn't driving up the price in the first place. It was higher demand.
Not only demand from places like China, but also demand from investors. And there's been a class of investors that has emerged in the oil market in the last 4 or 5 years that has been pretty heavy buyers in recent weeks and has been part of the reason that oil prices have gone up so much.
That would be code for speculators. OPEC still might take some action next month. Very high oil prices aren't good for the cartel either. Saudi Arabia likes the price at about $70 a barrel. The dollar gained back some of its value today, and there was a bit of a stock rally in Asia. In Japan, the Nikkei added almost 1%. European shares are close to 1% higher so far. The Dow begins the morning at 13,248. It lost 65 points yesterday. The NASDAQ fell 17. The S&P 500 dropped 9. Foreign visitors who land at Dulles Airport today will have to give 10, as in 10 fingers. Homeland Security is rolling out a new security system that requires all 10 fingerprints instead of just 2. Many more airports will be doing this for foreign visitors starting next year. Here's Jeremy Hobson.
The fingerprints will be compared with growing government watch lists to catch, as Anna Hinken of U.S. Visit puts it,
dangerous people that we don't want in the United States.
Hinken says having 10 fingerprints will give the government a big advantage. She says the system will cost upwards of $200 million, but some say the price may be much higher.
When you don't ask people for their business and you only put up barriers, the end result is very predictable.
Jeff Freeman is with Discover America, a group of business leaders trying to boost the number of tourists here in the U.S. Freeman says government figures show a 17% drop in foreign visitors since 9/11 has cost the nation $100 billion and 200,000 jobs.
And much of that decline is due to a negative perception of the entry experience.
Freeman says if 10 fingerprints are needed, the U.S. needs to do a better job telling foreign visitors why. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
It's been a year now since Felipe Calderon became the president of Mexico. Remember how contentious that election was? Might have been worse than Bush Gore. Calderon's opponent accused him of stealing the election. There were huge protests in the streets. There was even a brawl in Congress. But a year is a long time. And my, how things have changed. From our America's guest at desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
When President Calderon took power, Mexico's deadlocked Congress hadn't passed a single major piece of legislation in nearly a decade. Everyone expected more political paralysis. Instead, Calderon passed much-needed reforms of the federal pension and tax systems.
They were not giant victories, but they were useful ones.
Jeffrey David Au is a former U.S. ambassador to Mexico and now heads the Institute of the Americas.
So although the changes that Calderon got through were not really big deals, the fact that there has been some change, some forward momentum, has been well received by the financial and business communities.
The next item on Calderon's agenda may be his toughest, opening the state-run energy sector to foreign investment. Right now, that's forbidden by the Mexican Constitution. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by Grant Thornton, dedicated to serving their clients worldwide with a passion for the business of accounting. On the web at GrantThornton.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
New polls out this week suggest the economy is now the number one issue for voters, ahead of terrorism, ahead of the war in Iraq. Commentator Robert Reich says this isn't just because of the housing market or the recent economic slowdown.
The real reason is middle-class families have exhausted the coping mechanisms they've used for over three decades to get by on median wages that are barely higher than they were in the 1970s, adjusted for inflation. The income of a young man in his 30s today is actually 12% below that of a man three decades ago. The first coping mechanism was moving more women into paid work. The percent of working mothers with school-aged children has almost doubled since 1970, from 38% to about 70%. Some parents are now even doing 24-hour shifts, one on child duty while the other works. I call these families DINs, standing for double income, no sex. When families couldn't paddle any harder, we started paddling longer. The typical American now works 2 weeks more each year than we did 30 years ago. Compared to any other advanced nation, we're veritable workaholics, putting in 350 more hours a year than the average European, more even than the Japanese. As the tide of economic necessity continued to rise, we turned to the third coping mechanism. We began taking equity out of our homes, big time. But now that home prices are sinking for the first time in decades, this no longer keeps us afloat. As Moody's reported last week, defaults on home equity loans have surged to the highest level this decade. In short, it's the economy, stupid. But not just the current slowdown. The underlying problem began around 1970, and any presidential candidate seeking to address it will have to think bigger than stimulating the economy with tax cuts or spending increases. The fact is, most Americans are still not prospering in the global economy, and almost all the benefits of economic growth have gone to a small number at the very top. The candidate who acknowledges this and comes up with a way to truly spread prosperity will have a good chance of winning over America's middle class.
Robert Reich was Labor Secretary under President Clinton. His new book is called Super Capitalism. If you'd like to weigh in on this topic, check out the Marketplace Confessional. It's online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.